Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, where you'll find all the leading brands and running footwear from top names like Brooks, Asics and New Balance, in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening and welcome along to tonight's Score programme as we look ahead to some of the big action this coming weekend. On the programme, I'll be joined by former Intermediate Championship winner with St Noel's, Barry Meehan, to look ahead to this weekend's Intermediate decider. In Derry, it's semi-final weekend. Ciara O'Kane of the Irish News will join me to discuss those last four encounters. On the soccer front, there's a huge relegation battle in the Premier Division of the League of Ireland coming up on Sunday. Finn Harps, of course, host Cork City. They are the bottom two. Commentator Trevor Welch will be giving us the lowdown on the visitors to Ballybuffet. And the new rugby season for the local club starts this weekend. I'll be speaking to Alec McDonald. But first of all, I'm sure as you heard earlier this evening, Donegal is now at level 3, and that of course will have an impact on sport in the northwest. Basically, matches and fixtures sports-wise are off, apart from those that are involved in professional, elite, inter-county, club championship, and indeed some horse racing fixtures. This of course does not apply to the likes of Derry and Tyrone. It is Donegal only. But again, fixtures will be impacted. The likes of the junior soccer in Inishowen will not now be allowed to take place. If there's a rugby match taking place in Donegal that was due to start this weekend, it can take place, but it can be played in Northern Ireland. And there was, of course, some concerns in relation to Finn Harps, who are playing Cork City. That game will be going ahead behind closed doors at 5 o'clock on Sunday. And the three championship encounters here in Donegal on the GAA front, including the intermediate championship game, are also going ahead as well as planned, but behind closed doors with no spectators. So we're going to start with Gaelic games and that intermediate football championship decider, where Aroa Ballyshannon are taking on Clonmacnoise. Both these sides have lost finals in recent years and both are looking to make the step up to senior football. The matches at the O'Donnell Park starts at 4 o'clock. It's a huge game. It's a really, really tight one to call. Earlier today, I spoke to a man that's lifted the Intermediate Championship with St Noel's, Letterkenny native Barry Meehan. Well, Barry, we're going to have a final this weekend. At the big Intermediate decider is going to be stealing the headlines on Saturday. Aroa Ballyshannon against Clonmacnoise. Two very evenly matched sides if you go on their record and their performances this year. And I suppose straight away, it's going to be hard to separate them, so it is.
Definitely is. Shane, listen, I suppose they were most people's favourites before the championship kicked off to be in the final for the Intermediate Championship. And listen, both of them are there. Both, you know, I suppose, very different performances in the semi-final. Clonmacnoise, I think, you know, I thought they showed real control and managed the game very impressively. Finished out 2.1ers, but, you know, suppose they were really in control from when Darren McGeever saw that penalty into the back of the net in the first half. You know, when they did that without John Fitzgerald, Jeremy Geady was very, very impressive for them on Darrell O'Connor, you know, keeping him scoreless. Aroa on the other side, like, they showed absolute real grit and determination to come from six down at the break. You know, they had the one at their back in the second half, but you still have to come from behind, you know, and one two of that there coming in the final few minutes to bring it to extra time, and then showed real steel then to kick the 2-1 points in extra time, you know. And suppose, listen, it's something that's been thrown at Aroa the last number of years, probably unfairly maybe, that they didn't have that there steel, you know, when it came to the crunch, you know. But when you look at the games down through the years, you know, they lost to Milford in 2017 by a point, you know. The final the year before that, or the year after that, against Glenfinn, you know, they just really didn't turn up on the day. And then the semi-final last year against Clonmacnoise, like, they, you know, they were fantastic in both games. It was only that their goal in the last minute, you know, and after two really, really cracking encounters, they served up the first day out in Glenfinn. I think it was 14 points apiece after extra time, with Philip Patton, who's a big player for Eirua, kicking a score to level matters after Sean McGarvey, I think it was, that had levelled it late in normal time, and then Clonmacnoise had the woodwork three times in extra time, you know, so when maybe a point would have seen them through. But then on the second night out in Convoy, it was a goal with the last kick of the game from Darren McGeever that saw them through to the final, you know, and at that stage, a point would have taken it to extra time, but no, they were willing to go for that goal, and like, I think that's what both teams have. They have that there, they have that edge about them, you know, that they're willing to go at each other. And suppose they both have that there, that experience of hurt over the last number of years, you know. So, and you know, suppose they're looking to, for their own reasons, to get over the line, you know. And suppose there's a lot of people talking recently about two teams going up from intermediate. You know, I don't think that's probably right, to be honest. I think, you know, you earn your right to play.
Why would you be in favour of it?
I think you earn your right to play in senior. You know, I think it. You know, you're going into a final with that there hanging over you. Well, you're already in senior. You know, I think, you know, a lot of teams work very, very hard to get up, and a lot of teams when they get up there work very, very hard to stay up. And I think, you know, it's unfair on the teams that are up there when they're working so hard that if two of them were to go back down, you know, okay, I do agree, you need a bit of luck, you know, you need a little bit of luck to win any championship, you know, but I think you also have to earn it, and you know, sometimes you earn that luck. And I just think I like it the way it is, where it's just the one on team, because it means that they've really, really earned it, you know.
Yeah, but at times when it's sort of there, it's hard for an intermediate side coming up and staying in senior football as well. So it is, Barry, on most occasions. It happens most of the time that when they do come up, they struggle for a couple of years and then end up dropping back down again.
Yeah, look, I think that's part of their development too, you know. I think, you know, when teams are at that level, you know, their first goal when they get up there is to stay up there. And listen, sometimes, you know, unfortunately, they're just not good enough after a couple of years to stay there. And if they go back down and rebuild, they can come back up again. And I think, you know, I do think like leagues and championships really show where teams are at. And I honestly think they don't lie, you know. And I think the team that won the championship outright deserves it. And unfortunately, a team that goes down a lot of the time deserve it too, you know.
Yeah. But it's difficult to get out of the Intermediate Championship, as you well know, Barry. You've won the championship with St. Noel's. It's a seriously competitive part of Donegal GA, so it is.
Absolutely, Oisin. Absolutely. You know, and the year before, we played Glenfinnan in the semi-final, and we were 2 points up going into injury time. A point up going into injury time, and we lost by a point. They kicked 2 points, you know, and what they had was that there, you know, that experience and that know-how to grind out those two scores at the end, and it's something we didn't have. And, you know, I think it's something, like, we had sat down afterwards, and we were critical of ourselves after that year, and we spoke about certain things, and we said that, you know, last year when it came down to those games again, that we'd go to the bitter end and that we'd learn from that experience. And on numerous occasions last year, even through the league and championship, I think that there, that Glenfinnan game stood to us so much. You know, there were so many times that we were in games that maybe we were a point down and we got a draw, or that we were all square and that we won by a point. And I think that's part of the learning process for teams at this level too, is that, you know, whenever you are in those real, real battles, that you have to be able to find a way to win.
Yeah. Who's the Donna Park going to suit at the weekend?
Do you know, it's hard to know, like, look, both teams have the ability to produce a real shootout if they both go for it. You know, they play a similar style of play. Both like to play a kicking game. And I think maybe one team will need to change it up a wee bit. You know, they both know each other very, very well over the last couple of years. So what I would see maybe happening is, I think it could be a day for the forwards. You know, I think the both forward lines are fairly prolific, you know, with Paul Sweeney, his goal threat, Johnny Fitz for Clonmacnoise, then you've Sean Maguire, Kevin Mulhern, Jason McGee. you know, for Aroui, a Philip Patton who's scoring chief, like he's averaging maybe anything from 8 to 10 points a game. I know he didn't do that in the semi-final, but up until that he was. You've Shane McGrath and Oisin Rooney who can get scores. And, like, you know, Shane McGrath's a goal machine on his day. And last year he was flying. Now, he just might be hitting the same form this year. But listen, on any day, he's a hard man to mark. And it's going to be interesting to see who the matchups are. Because, you know, John Fitzgerald and Paul Sweeney are going to be looked after, and probably it's going to be the likes of Colin Kelly and Shane Gillespie there. Where on the other side of it, you have, you know, Shane McGrath, Philip Patton are going to be looked after. Both keepers are really, really strong, and I think that there's something that O'Donnell Park will suit for them, especially Peter Boyle. Peter Boyle's a serious launchpad for Aroua, and don't be surprised to see him kick balls straight out to the other 65 and, you know, and set up an attack. I would say Clahan Neely might just shade it, and just saying that because I think, you know, they have that hurt from last year. I think they're better this year at managing games. I think they've really focused on that there. They're not blowing teams away. You know, they're really getting ahead and they're just staying ahead. And, like, I don't think they're trying to do that. That's not what I'm saying. But I think they really have that there, you know, wherewithal about them to just to keep going in the battle. And I think they're gonna like that there. I think Aroua might need a couple of goals to win it. I think if it comes into a bit of a shootout for points, I think Clahan Neely might just shade it. But I think Aroua might need a couple of goals to win it, you know. I would say both teams have had their eye on this championship from the outset. Both with the opportunity now to go for it. We'll see Saturday. I think maybe Clahan Neely might just shade it, or Oisin.
Yeah, but there's been a long sort of yearn within the Ballyshannon group of getting back to senior football. A lot feeling that part of the county that has been too long since they've been out of the senior ranks. And they're out of it a lot longer than Clahan Neely. Will that maybe give them an extra spur on going into Saturday?
Yeah, listen, suppose the fact that they haven't played senior football in the last decade, you know, is huge for a club of Ballyshannon or Aroua's stature, you know, who would have been playing senior football for a long, long time. Yeah, listen, I think definitely their want to get back into senior football is definitely there. But I also think Clahan Neely's experience of playing in Division 1 and even just the dynamic of their team at the moment, I think just might be that maybe a year or two ahead of Aroua.
Yeah. Extra time could be a factor at the weekend, Barry. We've seen what's been happening during these strange times of playing football during a pandemic, and matches have to end on the day. If the people who's doing the betting and the pundits are right, if it's going to be too tight to call, is extra football at the end of the day highly likely?
Oh, I think so. Listen, after what these two teams served up last year, Oisin, I wouldn't rule out extra time at all. Definitely not, and I actually wouldn't rule out penalties. You know, I think there's nothing between them, and even this year now, Clahan Neely went down to Ballyshannon and won. You know, I know both teams were missing players, and, like, prior to that, Ballyshannon hadn't lost there. I think they had a 100% record last year between league and championship down there. You know, so they were formidable in Father Tierney Park. Clahan Neely, I think, made a big statement going down that day. You know, and suppose the way they were at the time, Clahan Neely had to win to kind of keep things moving. Aroua had 2-1s under their belt, you know. And listen, I think it was only a couple of points in it again. Like, there's nothing between these two teams. And, like, another guy, you know, suppose I meant to mention him earlier, and I think he's a massive big game player for Aroua, is Nathan Boyle. You know, he's all on a big day. He really produces it. And it'll be interesting to see who Clahan Neely put in him to try and curtail him, because he does a lot of ball carrying and he can get on the end of the scores for Aroua.
Yeah, so that's the situation then, Barry, and the intermediates as we go to this weekend. Also this weekend is the second semi-final of the Junior Football Championship. This match was to be played last week. It was postponed for a week. It's Convoy against Letterkenny Gaels. Like the intermediate, is this one too tight a call, or who can you see be the one? How can you see this one going, Barry?
I think it's going to be tight again. As I said last week, I think I think if the Gaels can stay in it and keep the scoreboard ticking right up until the last 10, I think they'll fancy their chances, you know. The fact that they were in a final last year, they've got their experience. But then I suppose you've Convoy, who've been in the last four, I think it was semi-finals, you know. And they're going really well this year. Like, they're unbeaten. They kind of, not that they cruised through the group, but that, you know, they won comfortably their games at home, and they had good ones on the road, you know. So listen, they've like top players, like in Remy McNamee's back, you have Paddy Dolan, who had played with the county, Peter Blake, Joe McGill, John Toy, Paddy Mealy, you know, all good players, you know, they've been about for a good number of years. Like, and even last year, like, they only lost the semi-final last year to Buncrana, who actually, you know, went on and won it, you know. So listen, there's question marks about the Gaels. Will they be able to break down the Convoy defence? You know, Convoy will be very, very tight. I saw the Gaels against Mobile, and, you know, they weren't overly impressive in that game. But saying that there, they really picked it up then against Ciarán Donnagh, you know, and they went to Ciarán Donnagh and they won. And I suppose they've Shea Doherty and Kieran Cannon back, you know, from this for the Ciarán game. So they'll have it a game under their belt. So, you know, they would have been happy that they came through that there. And listen, with Conor McBertie, who can another man who can kick 7-8 points a game, you know, and then Ronan Free, and a good under 20 player this year, you know, they're gonna fancy their chances, you know. They lost to Mobile, you know, struggled against Downing's last week. I see a Downing's Convoy final, to be honest. You know, I think they are the two best teams. Now, saying that, the Gaels could prove me wrong, but I see that, you know, since the start of the year, you know, these two teams they're in Division 2, they won Division 3 last year, you know, so they were, and they've been playing against, you know, more senior sides, even through the regional leagues, which is, you know, while other teams mightn't place too much emphasis on teams coming up, you know, playing these senior teams, it's big games for them, and, you know, it's really big learning curves, and I think that they'll stand to the likes of Convoy.
Okay, Barry, thanks for joining us, and enjoy the football at the weekend.
Thank you, Oisin.
Barry Meehan, looking ahead to those intermediate and junior fixtures this coming weekend. Despite the senior final been called off until at the least Wednesday the 7th of October, there is another senior game being played in Donegal this weekend. That's the relegation playoff. Glen Swilly is the venue on Sunday. Milford are taking on Dunloe. Whoever wins will of course be safe in senior football. The loser will go to intermediate next year. 12:30 is the throw-in time to that game on Sunday. There's also some huge championship matches in Derry as well, with semi-finals at senior and intermediate level Saturday and Sunday. In the last four senior encounters, it's the Loop against the defending champions O'Donovan Rossa, and Sláinte, former winners, are up against Ballinderry. At an intermediate level, Castle Dawson play Greenlock, Steeltown against Fochan Vale. This week I've been speaking to Cathair O'Kane, GA correspondent with the Irish News, as we took a look at the action in the Oakleigh County. Well, Cathair, first of all, we're going to touch on Conor Glass. He's heading back to Derry. How big a boost is it for Rory Gallagher? And will the former County Derry minor star fit straight into the senior panel?
Huge boost for Derry. Massive boost for Derry. Like, I'm surprised there haven't been street parties organised around Glen at this stage. But in terms of a boost for Rory Gallagher, well, that'll depend on whether he's there next year, because I can't see Conor having any involvement in the setup this year. My understanding is he's not home until the 8th of October. He's going to take the next 2 weeks and do a bit of holiday and then a bit of touring around Australia. And he's not home until the 8th of October. And then there is a 14-day quarantine period from Australia, which would take him to the 22nd, which is 8 days before Derry play Armagh in the Championship. And it's very, very hard to see anybody being parachuted in, no matter how good he is, to see him being parachuted into a squad 8 days before the Championship starts. Even Tyrone have had, you know, Conor McKenna home for a couple of weeks. He was at training for the first time on Tuesday night. His quarantine period's done, and he's pretty much starting at the same stage as the rest of them, a week behind just, but Conor Glass would be a month behind. And it's hard to see him fitting in 2020, but certainly beyond that, he'll be straight in for next year and will be a massive addition, particularly given that, you know, Derry haven't had a natural midfielder really in quite a while. They don't have any natural midfielders at all at the minute, and Conor Glass fits that bill, and he's badly, badly needed.
Glenn probably would have availed of his services last weekend if he was home a bit earlier, and they may have needed him as well. Glenn bowing out of the championships. They, of course, were seen as one of the favourites. They fell at the quarter-final stage, and it was Sloughnane to go to the semi-finals this weekend where they would play Ballanderry. Given that the level of the victory over Glenn, would Sloughnane be now seen as the team at the forefront to take the Derry Championship this year?
I think a lot of people would definitely see it that way, yeah. I think even before they played Glenn on Sunday, Sloughnane's form had been of a level probably above what they've done since Mickey Moran left. This is now their third year since Mickey left, and they haven't been back in a county final since, which, you know, for a team that had won four in a row and was going for a very unique five in a row in Derry, to then go very quickly to 3 years without a county final, it has sort of turned on its head a wee bit on them. But no, all year they've been playing some brilliant stuff. Right from the first day when they beat Corian very handy down in Greenlough, and you know, when Shane McGuigan at full forward, they have a fella who is rapidly developing into one of the best forwards in the country. He is that good. You know, in last year's championship, and probably the big difference between this year and last year for them has been him, because when they played Glenn in the semi-final last year, Ryan Dugan marked him at full-back, and Ryan just stood on his left foot, and Shane McGuigan couldn't get a shot away, couldn't get turned on to it, didn't know how to get away from it. He scored 1 point from play. He went in on Sunday and scored 7 from play off Ryan Dugan. And Ryan did everything he could have done at times, but Shane McGuigan was just on fire and kicking scores where he had no right to kick scores. And he's just, you know, it makes Sloughnane twice as hard to play against as they probably have been at any stage, even under Mickey Moran's reign. He's so, so, so hard to defend against, and that then when teams drop off, Sloughnane are very cute on the ball, and if there's sweepers in front of them, they'll just find a different way to score. So it's look, if you were putting money down, it would be on them at the minute.
Yeah. What kind of challenge can Ballanderry put up to them?
Because Ballanderry, you know, obviously aren't at the peak of their powers. They're not the team that they were, four, five, six, 7 years ago. Like, they lost that county final to Sloughnane controversially in 2014 and haven't been back in a final since. And haven't really been close to a final since, to be fair. But in, I think it's 3 championship meetings against Sloughnane that time, they've given them a game every single time. You know, could have had them out in Nombeg a few years ago, only for going down to 13 men. Last year, they were well in the game in the first half, in the quarter-final, and then Gareth McInnes went off with a bad hamstring injury, which was a huge loss to them, and they sort of fell away at that point then. But you know, they've developed a couple of younger forwards, you know, fellow Conor O'Neill and young Sean Graham, who have a bit of a soccer background, very handy. And they have come through, and they're just giving them that. They were always light up front. That was their problem in the last few years. And they've maybe just found a couple of forwards who can trouble teams again. But overall, it is very, very hard to see. And I was talking about, you know, Shane McGuigan there. Obviously, that game last year, Conor Nevin did a great job on him as well. Did a brilliant job marking him. But it'll be interesting to see how that matchup goes again, or whether Ballanderry have to abandon playing Gareth McInnes up front, as they've been trying to do to sort of bolster their attack, whether they have to abandon that and put him right to full back to Mark McGuigan, which would be a huge blow to their attacking potential. So it's very, very, very hard to see Ballanderry beating Sloughnane at the weekend.
Yeah, that game's on Sunday evening at 5 at Celtic Park. At 5:30 on Saturday, there's the first semi-final, and O'Donovan Rossa will be going on as favourites against Loop. Have the Mahra Felt boys played like defending champions over the last couple of rounds, have they, Ciarán?
At times, you know, you watch the first half of their game against Swatter, and they did everything that you would have expected them to do. To be honest, I expected them to win that game fairly comfortably, and they were that comfortable in the first half and were cruising, playing good stuff. They have a full forward of their own in Shane Heavern, who's playing really good stuff and is hard to work with. And they were cruising, and then all of a sudden they stopped dead and almost got beat. On Saturday they were hanging on a wee bit with 4 or 5 minutes to go. And look, what I have seen of them, they're ticking along nicely. I think they're just ticking along nicely. They're stronger individually than they were last year. Ryan Ferris has come back from a spell at Balmaguigan and has helped them. Peter Quinn, who played in the Dublin final last year for Thomas Davis, has transferred back up. And then, like you, Peter Quinn was only on the bench for them on Saturday, along with Joe Keenan and Anton McElhone and Declan Martin. And, you know, that's a list of fellas that will walk on the most teams. So Marvelt have a strength and depth that, you know, very few can cope with. And they play a style of football that they're never going to hammer anybody, but they've gotten very, very good at it and very, very, you know, well drilled in what they're doing. And there's a thing between them and the Loop. They're very close rivals. They're very close neighbours, town against country. And the Loop have had a wee thing over them, being the rural team. And that would probably be the justification for a lot of people thinking that the Loop might scalp them on Saturday. But if you go on form and if you go on what you know, you would think that Marvelt should still have enough to get out of it.
Yeah, but I suppose of the two teams which are seen as not the favourites going on, the underdogs, Ballanderry and Loop, Loop are probably more likely to pull off a result in Ballanderry.
I think that's definitely fair enough. I would say if there is to be an upset at the weekend, it is probably going to be the Loop, to be fair. And it wouldn't be, you know, talk about an upset, it wouldn't be even on the same scale as if Ballanderry beat Slidenail. You know, Loop played Corrine in the last round, and probably some people looked at the result and thought that was a shock, but it wasn't really to too many people within Derry, and you know, a lot of people would have tipped the Loop to beat Corrine, and a lot of people would tip the Loop to beat Marvelt as well, but I don't think the bookies will do that. Yeah. And I think if there's going to be an upset, that's definitely where it'll be.
Yeah. So you're going for Slocknealan and O'Donovan Rossa then to make the final?
I think so. I think that's been I said before the quarterfinals, the winner would be Slagneil, Glenn or Marvelt. And I think the way the draw has panned out, I would be surprised if it's not a Slagneil Marvelt final.
Yeah. Let's just dip briefly into the Intermediate Football Championship. Two semi-finals as well. It starts with Steelstown against Fochenvale on Saturday, and then Castle Dawson taking on Greenlough Carr. What do you make of these two?
I suppose everybody's looking at Greenlough all year. At intermediate level, you know, two real, real high quality forwards in Enda Lynn and Niall Loughlin, who have just, you know, made them a nightmare to play against and very, very hard for any team to shut down effectively enough. And they have been, you know, sort of carrying a heavy favourites tag from the start. Again, under Joe Cassidy as well, who did a brilliant job with them in his first spell in charge and won a championship and got them up and comfortable in senior football for a good wee spell. So, Greenlough are up against, you know, they probably have the tougher of the semi-finals. Castle Dawson have changed a lot in the last few years, but are bringing through a good wee bit of talent, the leg of Ryan Connery and fellas like that, and have scores always of goals on them, Castle Dawson. But just, it's very, very hard to see how any team contains Greenlough well enough to beat them. That's, you know, I just would not see Greenlough being beaten. And to be fair, the only team that sort of people are talking about really having a chance of doing it are Steelstown at the minute, who are flying. You know, went into what looked like a 50-50 game against Drumcern last weekend in the quarterfinal and just blew Drumcern out of it. You know, annihilated them really, and have been playing some brilliant stuff. The Fochenvale had a big one of their own, but over, you know, probably a lesser opponent in Limavady, and Fochenvale can blow a wee bit hot and cold. A couple of handy forwards, a couple of very young side as well that are, you know, won a junior championship, reached an Ulster junior final in they I should remember they beat us in the final 2015, but they would still, and they reached an intermediate final a couple of years ago as well, but still would. I think most people will be looking at Steelstown for that one. They've developed a couple of classy young forwards. Young McCarron, that was on the Derry Miners, is very, very handy at that level, and they're looking really, really good. And I think a Steelstown Greenlock final will be something they really, really look forward to.
Yeah. Just finally, touching on the note of penalties, we've seen a lot of stuff going on in Tyrone, be it extra time and penalty shootouts. We've seen the title decided last week on penalty shootouts. There's not been much extra time or penalties about Derry, and you're probably due a couple of games, a couple of tight games, so you are, Ciara, at this stage of the competition. If it arrived at the semi-final stage, it would certainly make for what would be an exciting, exhilarating, entertaining, and a nervy finish to games for some of the sides involved in those last four encounters.
It would, surely. Like, to be honest, I mean, it's a strange anomaly of the Derry Championship where you know, it's one of the closest championships on the whole in Ireland, and there are a lot of very close games, but we don't tend to get an awful pile of replays or get an awful pile of extra time. Games just tend to get sorted out. Like, I think we haven't had a final replay since 2007, despite the fact that, you know, there's generally very little between teams. Look, I'm a big fan of the penalties, to be honest. I'm probably a minority on that, and I think...
Why are you a fan of them?
I just think that, you know, we spend half our time in the GAA complaining about fixtures and about fixture schedules and about players not knowing when they're playing and what's happening and games being delayed and knocked on. And look, somebody wins and somebody loses, no matter what way you do it, whether you have a replay, whether you have extra time or extra time or penalties, somebody loses. And that's the way it is. And I just think that it sorts it out with no knock-on effect. And I think it's better for the team that wins. And that's probably removing last weekend in Tyrone. Maybe could be an exception made, to be fair, for a final. Even though I'm not against that, I could see why people would maybe have a more of a thing against the county final being settled on it. But for any other round, for any other game, you know, because you take the tight schedule. Sure, if say Sleckney and Ballinderry drew and had to go to a replay, they'd have to play Sunday, Wednesday, and a county final on Sunday, and that's a big ask, you know. So I think if it's given time to bed in, which I hope it is, and I think it will be, the GAA are playing on with the finish on the day regulations. I think once it beds in a couple of years' time and we stop complaining about it, I think people will accept that it's been a good move. It'll have sorted a lot of stuff out, and somebody's going to lose at the end of every game, so that's just the way it is.
Yeah. Listen, Ciara O'Kane, GAA correspondent with the Irish News, thanks for joining us, and enjoy the games at the weekend.
Thanks, Oisin.
That is Ciara O'Kane. League of Ireland Premier Division action will continue with two games tomorrow night, Friday. Derry City are involved in one of those. Derry are away from home in Dublin, playing second place Bohemians at Dalymount Park. That one is due to start at 7:45. Sligo Rovers are involved in action on Saturday as they go to Waterford FC. But Fun Harps are back in Ballybuffet on Sunday. They host Cork City. These two sides, of course, fill the places at the bottom of the Premier Division table and are fighting for survival. Harps just ahead by a single point, but Cork City do have a game in hand. Whoever wins this one will have a crucial 3 points, and it could be the decisive 3 points come the end of the season, whether you go down or go into that automatic relegation promotion playoff spot. Earlier today, I spoke to local commentator in Cork, Trevor Welsh, and he very much agrees that this is without doubt a huge six-pointer at the weekend.
As the fella says, it's squeaky bum time now, and I do think that Cork City and Fin Harps, unfortunately, will be probably the bottom two at the end of it. Which one will be bottom remains to be seen, but this is a massive game on Sunday. As you mentioned, a real six-pointer. City won at Turner's Cross back in February 1-0. I think they you know, the games between the two sides in recent years have been pretty close, and I think City were fortunate to get the 3 points. It's only one of two wins that Cork have had this year, the other one against Sligo. But I know from doing that match that night at Turner's Cross, Ollie was absolutely furious that Harps had a goal disallowed that night. So City were probably fortunate to get the 3 points in that particular game, and I just think it's going to be very tight again on Sunday, and probably a goal in it. But I think, you know, a draw won't suit any either side on Sunday, Oisin. I think one of the two teams, if they're going to have any chance to get out of the bottom two, they're going to have to win that match.
Yeah, if we go back to February, there's been a bit of a change around Finn Harps since then. It's a long time ago now, Trevor. Has there been much change around Cork?
Yeah, there has really. You know, since the return to football after the lockdown, City brought in a number of players from the UK. Some have worked and some haven't really. You know, Kit Elliott was probably the best of them, and he was really good in Cork City's 3-0 win over Sligo, the best performance of the season. But unfortunately, he got injured, and he went back to England. He is back now with Cork City, but he has to quarantine, and he won't be up to match fitness, so he won't be involved in the match day squad on Sunday. But, you know, that's one of the criticisms, Oisin, of Cork City, that you know, in the previous match against Shamrock Rovers, that there's not enough local lads in the team to roll their sleeves up and fight for the cause. You know, that's been one of the criticisms aimed at Cork City this season, that they need more local lads who are going to really roll up the sleeves and try and get them out of this mess, you know?
Yeah, it's been strange times around Cork. I suppose us up in Donegal have been used to Finn Harps battling it out at the bottom of the table and trying to survive. But it's in recent season, it's something that Cork supporters haven't experienced before, because it's been a long time since they were in that situation. What's the general feeling around the club at the moment, Trevor, as they fight for survival?
Yeah, I suppose, you know, fearful really, that there could be, you know, finished bottom of the table. Like, Cork City have never been relegated in their history. They have been in the First Division once, but that was purely down to finances. They actually never got relegated, you know, on the field of play. So, you know, there are fears amongst Cork City fans that, you know, could be finished bottom of the table this year. But Neil Fenn, talking to him earlier at his press conference, he felt that especially the young fellas in the Cork City team are confident they can, you know, escape the drop and finish outside the bottom two, you know. You know, that's more than hope. But, you know, I suppose the fair factor is that Cork City haven't won any away game under Neil Fenn, and that's over a year. They've only picked up 2 points on the road, one at Shelburne and one at Waterford. So that is a big concern going up to Ballyvofay on Sunday. You know, and Harps have, you know, they're 4 points adrift of safety. You know, 6 games to go. City 5 points, you know, away from safety, and they've 7 matches left. I know that Harps have Dundalk and Rovers next, and City have St. Pat's and Bowes, and that rearranged fixture against Dundalk. So no game easy. Every game is going to be like a cup final, and you know, whoever comes out on top on Sunday will probably have a chance of getting outside the top two, and it'll give them a real lift, whichever team wins that match.
Yeah, Ollie has always said he would like to finish second from bottom because he's had the playoff experience before. Given Harps have been in dogfights in the Premier Division in recent years, and again, it's all new to Cork, does it give maybe Finn Harps a slight edge, would you feel, Trevor?
Yeah, that's what I asked Neil Fenn at the press conference earlier. I asked him, you know, with Ollie down there with Harps on a number of occasions. He knows what's required in these kind of dogfights, these scraps for survival as such. And his answer was that a lot of people will expect Harps being at home to come out on top, but it's up to City to put in a performance. And, you know, the problem with Cork City is that they've been very inconsistent. They've only put in a few really good performances, like the Sligo one was a very good performance. And they've had a couple of only of really, you know, strong performances, and they certainly need one on Sunday if they're going to come out on top.
Yeah. I know some of the clubs now in their current financial climate, some clubs don't do overnight stays. Is Cork going to be one of these sides that's going to have a huge round trip ahead of them at the weekend? Are they going to go on the one day, or will they be up for the weekend here in Donegal, do you feel, Trevor?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, but my feeling is that they will be leaving early, very early on Sunday morning, and for a long round trip. And you know, I suppose, you know, Neil Fenn would know a good bit about Finn Harps, having played against him before with Longford as well. And you know, I just think, you know, with City's performances of late, there doesn't seem to be, you know, any consistency with them, and they really need to pull out a top performance, I think. You know, I asked him, would he be, you know, is this a must-game win? And he said to me that it's certainly a game that they can't lose. But I think at the stage of the season, Oisin, with games running out, it is a must-win game for both sides.
Yeah, there's not much separating them. If you go over, the last five games that they've had, the form, there's not any major difference there, so there's only 1 point separating the two sides. But Cork do have a game advantage. They have played a game less. Will that game come into play come the end of the season, and could that be the one that could maybe keep Cork above the Ballybuffet side? Because another 90 minutes of football could be vital for Cork.
Yeah, I have to be honest, and I'd say, you know, judging by the two teams' performances that I've seen of late, Finn Harps have turned in better performances for me, I have to say. I'm not sure with Cork City what's gone wrong. I mean, when they beat Sligo 3-0, everybody got excited and said this could be, you know, they could have turned a corner here, because that was a real top performance, but they've been far and few between. And, you know, there's nothing in it between the two sides. Even you look at the goal difference, and there's not much even in it there. You know, I think whoever comes out on top on Sunday will be obviously favourites to get that second from bottom. And I truly believe that whichever the two clubs win will finish second bottom.
Trevor Welsh speaking to me earlier today. In rugby, action, of course, will be impacted by the decision today to put Donegal to level 3. But what we do know is the start of the season will see clubs in Derry and Tyrone able to get their campaigns underway. That includes OMA against City of Derry in Ulster Senior League, while in the Ulster Championship, Strabane will be able to play against Belfast High School former pupils. Letterkenny do have a fixture, which is away from home against Newry, but that game, of course, is in doubt as we speak. I've been looking ahead to the games for the local clubs ahead of the new season with Highlands Rugby correspondent Alec McDonald. So, Alec, the new season is upon us. The North West clubs, of course, get up and running at the weekend. Before we look at those fixtures, Alec, obviously due to the COVID pandemic, there's been a lot of changes right across the sporting board. And likewise in rugby, there has been changes to the format. What's going to happen now for the clubs between this stage, the third of the season, and come the end of the year?
Well, they start off, as you say, tomorrow with the Ulster Senior League Conference 2, as it's called. It's been zoned into two sections, 1 and 2. The first section will be the top clubs who play in All-Ireland League Division 1 and 2. And then the rest of the clubs are in Division 2. That's, of course, City of Derry, OMA, Bangor, Ballymena, Dungannon and Harlequins. They will play each other home and away over 10 games, and then there will be play a semi-final and playoffs to see who wins that in Section 2. And if time allows, they could well then take on the winners of Section 1. In between, they will have the Ulster Senior Cup, the first round, and again sees OMA and City of Derry lock horns on the 24th of October. After Christmas, it then is the All-Ireland League, which, as you know, was cancelled last week. Or last year, there are no promotion or relegation. The teams will remain the same, the five divisions of 10. From City of Derry and OMA's point of view, what it means is they will play each other once this time. And that means that some teams are going to get five games at home or some teams going to get five away. Again, there will be playoffs at the end of the season, but no relegation. And hopefully, by the start of September next year, that when everything gets back to normal, the five All-Ireland League divisions will then start off, and then there will be promotion and relegation as usual.
Yeah. Okay, then, Alec, looking at the fixtures, as you said, we've got OMA against City of Derry. That would be a derby in the AIL, but it is an Ulster Senior League game. With the new season about to get underway, has there been much change around both clubs for the new campaign?
Well, it's been difficult to find out exactly. I know that OMA have got a new coach, Glenn Beattie, and he has come in. They have a few players. Obviously, you get players going and leaving. I'm not so up to date about them. As far as City of Derry are going, I know that quite a few, three players have gone to play for Limavady, and one guy has gone to play for Rennie. they have got in four or five new players who apparently have adjusted well and settled into the team. But really, it's very much they had a couple of friendly games, both teams, and really it's to wait and see. So I'm looking forward to Saturday just to see how the teams get around, because obviously with so much unease about, it'll be difficult. But I think I saw a slight video of a warm-up game between City of Derry and Corain, and it didn't seem as anything had changed very much. But as I say, it'll be interesting just to see how it all pans out. Hopefully that it'll continue on and it'll get finished, because who knows what can happen in the interim, Oisín.
Yeah. That, of course, is in the Ulster Senior League. Letterkenny and Strabane both featuring in Ulster Championship 3 once again. Letterkenny are on the road in Newry. What's been happening around the Donegal club over the last couple of months, Alec?
Well, they certainly last year had a very, very good season, and their new coach certainly gave them a lot to go for. They did have a great part of the season where they won quite a lot of games. But then, of course, just when they were sort of getting back on track again, everything stopped. So really, it'll be interesting to see, because it's virtually 6 months from a lot of players have played competitive rugby. They will have played a few warm-up games, but nevertheless, I'm sure they'll be itching to get back. From Strabane's point of view, I think they have more or less the same sort of side as last year. And I can assure you that last year, as you know, I reported on the Gordon West match between Letterkenny and Strabane. And if the standard of both sides is anything to go by on that day, I think that they will do very well this year in Championship 3. As I say, one stage Letterkenny when they're top two, but then a few blips and they went down a bit. But nevertheless, you know, the likes of Newry, Monaghan, I know, are very strong sides. And it'll be a very competitive league. As far as I know, the Championship 1, 2 and 3, it will be promotion and relegation. That is, of course, if all the games are played.
Just finally, Alec, one of the real stalwarts of Ulster rugby passed away this week, a member of Strabane, a very respected member across rugby, right across the province and indeed the country.
Yes, indeed. It was sad to find out that Jerry Taylor, known probably as Mr. Strabane, passed away on Tuesday in his 91st year. Jerry's connections with Strabane Rugby Club go back 70 years as a player, coach, a touch judge. He was president on many occasions and was also a great administrator, being secretary for over 50 years, PRO, and at one stage he did a great job in keeping the club afloat for 10 years after they couldn't play between 1972 and 1982. He was recognised about 6 or 7 years ago by the Ulster branch for his service to rugby with a lifetime achievement, and it was very fitting that the president that year was Stan Huey, who was president of the Ulster branch and a very close friend of Jerry's. I also would like just to say that he was a big supporter of Crewe soccer team, and also appeared at Strabane Park on many occasions supporting the local cricket team. And his passing will be sadly felt by everyone who enjoyed it. And I think I should finish by saying he was known as Wee Jerry.
Just finally, to remind you what's coming up live this weekend here on Highland Radio Sportswise, we will of course have full live match coverage of the Donegal Intermediate Football Championship Final. It's Éireann Ballyshannon against Clonmacnoise. That match throws in at 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. I'll be joined in commentary by Martin McHugh, and then I'll be changing codes come Sunday when former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle will be joining me in our commentary position at Finn Park to give you full live match commentary from Finn Harps against Cork City and that huge relegation battle. Kickoff time, of course, is 5 o'clock on Sunday evening. That's it from the Score programme for tonight. If you missed any of this evening's show, you will of course be able to recap the programme just after the 8 o'clock news. It's available on our sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Until the next time, from me, Oisín Kelly, enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, with the new Donegal GA Raven range, including zip-ups, tracksuit bottoms and shorts, available in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.